There's a, I'm sure, property next to it.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Okay. I feel kind of weird, but, just for my own sake, I didn't understand what the format was this morning, but Keith was bringing his message from, that would be tonight, this morning. So, and while listening, thoughts came and whatnot, and so I just thought, well, it's Sunday morning and we got lots of time. I'd like to just share a few thoughts. I've started getting a better perspective of the enemy. Because I'm listening to the Word of God, and it says in there that the devil is a liar and a deceiver, and there is no truth in him. So, yes, as Keith said, he can know the Word of God, but you know how he knows the Word of God? The exact way he's taught the church to know the Word of God. By his interpretation. And he missed it. Because if he really knew the Word of God, he wouldn't have been befuddled by Jesus when he tempted him. Because he never saw "it is written" when Jesus came back. He saw where whoever this guy's coming, the angels would lift him up if he fell or whatever. And he thought, well, I'm going to test him now. See if he's that guy. So the thing about Satan is he's probably the most intelligent being operating in our world. I mean, he's smart. Lots of people are smart. That's his disciples, in a sense. And, I was thinking, well, it's pretty hard to come out and say that a lot of the leaders in the pulpits are ministers of unrighteousness, Well, the thing is, yeah, a lot of them are doing it because they're ignorant. Paul was ignorant. He says, I was ignorant until what? The truth was presented to him. Once the truth or an aspect of the truth are presented, you have to take it, and then you make a decision. Am I going to believe that, or am I going to stick to my ways? If you decide to stick to your ways, then you've just become one of those ministers of unrighteousness. And that's up to that you, the individual. It's not us saying that or whatever. That's you. You're responsible. So if you're in a pulpit, somebody comes up and addresses like says, I'm having a hard time accepting, and we'll just use the one we've been talking, the Trinity. Now, if he immediately shuts that person down and says, they don't know what this is, you have just become a disciple of unrighteousness because you're not listening to the Word of God and hearing the truth. And I know that sounds kind of strong, but I was there. Most of us have all been there. And if you don't stop and say, you know what? I need to go before God and find out what is the truth. Not just because I've been hearing it for five generations through, a certain denomination or whatever. That proves nothing. The Jews were hearing things for hundreds and thousands of years. Christ came and said, you've been wrong. For one, you adapted it to a legalistic doing, following. You added extra stuff. You put burdens on people that weren't supposed to be there. You're deceived. You misinterpreted what God wanted from His law. Because He wanted you to keep it unto Him from your heart. Not by things you did, like the washing a cup, all that kind of stuff. Jesus did away with all that. Because it was like, how can you eat? You have unclean hands. And He basically said, hey, so what if your hands are clean? The inside of you is full of wickedness. What's the damage? And then I was sitting there thinking, and it says you have to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking, where in the Bible does anyone worship the Holy Spirit? I don't know of any place, unless I missed it, which I could have. You don't worship the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is who? God. is spirit. And you know, someone brought an interesting thing up a couple weeks ago, and it kind of caught me a little off guard, and it almost presented, it almost sounded like, you know, this Holy Spirit is a separate being. And I listened and I thought, yeah, that's what it sounds like. And I thought, well, I'm going to go back and read in, you know, like 14 and 15 of John and read through it and get all the ways it's presented. Well, there's one little last reference to the Holy Spirit in John. And I think it helped me, I don't know, because I don't know if I'm putting it a slant to this for my own self or whatever, so I'll just present it to you. So, in 14, I think he starts referring, or maybe even in 13. I don't know, I think it's mostly in 14, 15. Jesus says two or three times, I'm going to send you this helper, the Spirit of Truth. And the one scripture setting that was given was... let me find it here. It's where it says that he will declare what he hears. I got to find it because it's kind of important. Bear with me. Where is that? It was read too. It's referred to. It says, whatever he hears, he will bring to your remembrance. And we're talking of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to read some of these other scriptures. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then it says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I am going to my Father, for my Father is greater than me. God, I can't believe that's... Maybe it's actually... Oh, here we go. Okay, it's after the scripture I was going to end with. It's in 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you. So that was given as kind of, well, this is a separate person because he's hearing. Well, in 26, chapter 15, verse 26, it says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth. Now, here's the part that kind of, for me, sort of took that extra person away. But when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. That Spirit proceeds from the Father. Now, and I heard Gene make a little comment during all this, right at the end of that testimony, whatever. And she says, well, yeah, but there's seven spirits of God. So I was in Revelations this morning, and I had referenced that to myself before, too. It's like, well, God has lots of ways that He manifests His Spirit. Do you think that's true? I believe it's true. When it refers, it says, these are the seven, and it's kind of interesting, it makes us note, it says, these are the seven spirits of God, but there's a notation, it says, one of the manuscripts doesn't use that, it just says, seven spirits of God, that's what it says, these seven spirits of God. And later on, it refers to Jesus when he has seven horns and seven eyes. And he says, these are the seven spirits of God. So, the seven spirits of God are a manifestation he's going to use in the end times. You know, to do whatever. So are those seven separate Holy Spirit beings? Well, you know, no, they're all coming from God, who is Spirit. Do you kind of see the point I'm trying to make? Because if it doesn't make it, then I'm off, you know. So, and I haven't heard right, you know. But see, to me, whatever that spirit it says is hearing. Well, it's God saying, I'm going to send you this Spirit that is my thoughts, which are truth. And I'm going to give it to you through this Spirit from me. You know? And so I don't think it makes it a third person in the Godhead. Because there's no other reference to be worshipped or anything like, you know. And then they try to worship Jesus as God too. But we've started seeing so many scriptures that don't point to that. You know? Because it makes them separate. And you know what? And I was reading through in Revelations, and it makes so many references to what is already said in the Gospels, but, you know, he was tempted as we were tempted. There's a scripture that says, God tempts no one, and God cannot be tempted. And that kind of sums it up, doesn't it? That Jesus is not in the same realm as God because he was tempted. Did he give in to it? No, which is the glorious thing about him, because he walked perfect without sin. But it says he can know our sufferings because he suffered. And he was tempted as we, but he didn't give in to it. So he can understand why, you know, we're tempted. And he knows that we were weaker, that he was the only one that could get through that without sinning. And that made provision for all, which was God's plan. Not Jesus, God's plan. The Father, you know. And it was His plan, like, and I'm going to repeat some of this. It was His plan before He ever uttered any of this universe into being. Because He knew exactly what He was going to do. Because He knows everything. And He's in control of everything. And, you know, when you get into Revelations, I'm getting excited because I know more and more of Revelations, the book, is going to be given to us. You know, it's going to be, truth is going to come forth. We're going to be able to see what so many, because there's so many of the ways that it says things that seem confusing. And God's going to, He's going to present that in a way that we're going to see it, and it's going to be truth, you know. And I think some of it possibly might even be before it actually happens, you know, so that we can prophesy, warn people to a certain degree. I mean, the prophets came. Why? They were speaking for God because God wanted His people to turn back to Him. He's going to do that again, you know. He's going to offer it so that everyone in this world has an opportunity to come back to Him. Whether they do or not, that's up to them, you know. But it's going to be given. And I had a, and I'm going to be really vague, but I had a situation, and I'm just going to say in the last couple of weeks, where I was confronted about something, and it brought me to a place where, you know, there's nothing worse than being confronted with a weakness in yourself. And then it's like, what do you do with it? So, for days, there's a struggle between justification or being humble and admitting. I mean, that's a battle. And I know the enemy's there. Man, and I kept saying, I rebuke those voices, Lord. Work on me. Get me to the place to admit all that I'm wrong in, you know. And you know, probably not until today, he's reminded me that by His grace, He's put something in me that will eventually I'll confront myself and say, where am I wrong? And admit. And I've humbly done that quite a few times in my marriage in the past. You know, I couldn't do it at the time something came up, but if I was given a day or two, God would bring me around. I would go back and repent, ask for forgiveness, you know. And, but boy, I tell you, in the last, and I'm just going to say past days, I've been not to that place yet in some, you know, but it's coming. I can see it now because it's like, I want to be right before God. I want it to be the thing that He wants, you know. And I am lacking in some areas that, and it's like, how could God not have gotten rid of that stuff after 30-some years of supposedly walking with Him? And you know, that's a good question to ask. Because after I looked at that, that's what helped me stop judging everybody else. And you know what? If it takes 40 years to get rid of it and it's gone, then is it worth it? Yeah. If it purges you of that, it's worth it. So it's like, I'd like to tell some of these people that let me know that, you know, that I wished it could have been sooner, but it just hasn't been, you know? And I found out that it's amazing how, if you're kind of open to look back, how a lot of your life has been formed as you were growing up, and some of this stuff just stuck so hard that, you know, I've seen where some of my lack of compassion comes from, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, but it's, so you see it now change. Yeah. You know, that's like that, which I know Pam hated this term because I think I use it a few times. It's like, well, just do it. Well, the Lord's been telling me, yeah, why don't you just do it? Other people are telling you, why don't you just do it? Well, because I'm not capable of it. And that's all there is to it. It takes Him to just do it in me, you know? And it takes Him to just do it in you. And you know, it's really easy to want to point out, well, yeah, but what about you, you, and this, this, and this? But I can't do that, right? I can't do that. I have to just look at me and go before God and get this thing done in me, you know? But you know what? If it gets done, it's going to be a tremendous step forward. It's going to make me free. Not completely, because there's more than one area, you know? But it's a major area, and it's going to make a big difference. And I'll admit to part of it is I had no idea the depth of my selfishness and how long it's been with me, you know. And I'm starting to see a little bit why, you know. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about it now. I might talk it away. But And see, when you talk about that, it can be a justification, but you see where it came in, and that's like, well, how come you let it go so long? Yeah, right. How come anything? You know? I mean, because I'm human, you know? And so I didn't realize that it was coming to the end of the year and it's going to be a new year. So I'm looking forward to what can happen in this new year, but I don't like to go by that necessarily. You know, I don't make resolutions just because it's a new year. I'd like to make those resolutions anytime during the year and get rid of it, you know. So that's where I'm at. But just to be honest with you, and it, who would have thought that by listening to this word, and why has it taken 15, 16 years of listening to the word to get you to some of the places that you're finally dealing with things that have been in your life since teenager, you know? That's crazy, isn't it? But all I'm thinking is, you know what, Lord? If you just get me right before you and there's one day of ministering or whatever, it's worth it. Because it'll be your will and it'll be your plan done, you know? So, glory. So let's have a glorious new year. And I don't know if anybody else wants to come up and share, but...
Just a second here, but as Ken was talking, I thought of that scripture. It's in the fourth chapter of Revelation where it says the seven spirits, and I thought we could change the Godhead now to nine gods.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's come up to the front.